Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen, amen, amen. I can tell you needed that. And we need more of that. We're going to do more of that after service today when we go eat together. Amen. The other week, we talked about different ways or another way to praise God, and that word rock means to kneel and to bow, and that's part of our praise. We don't do that part enough, and we need to do more of that. I want to introduce that, well, not you already know about it, but I'm going to remind you, let's say it that way, remind you again of another way to praise God. And it's yada. Yada means to lift up the hands, thanking God for what he has done. So let's take the next 10, 15 seconds of praising God with the yada. Stand to your feet, lift your hands, thank him for what he has done for you and I. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. Lord, you moved us from the darkness into your marvelous light. We are born again because of the great sacrifice of Jesus. And we live today because of his resurrection. The resurrection power is in us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you all over the house. Hands lifted, thanking God. We praise you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you with our thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I won't reveal her name, but Pastor John, Miss Faye's got a family member that comes here, and we taught on that years ago, and she came up, and we talked about Yada that day. And she said, "I'm gonna call you Yoda." So every time I see her, she calls me Yoda, and I call her Yodaette, you know, so. How many of you are glad that life in God is not boring? It's not boring. I see that hand, Charlie. I see that hand. Not boring at all. You can have fun. That song said, "It's raining, it's pouring, the church is no longer boring." Charlie, don't tell on me. Charlie said, "That goes way back, you know." And it does. Anyway, I'm just so glad to be here. We had a wonderful weekend this past weekend with the married couples. We had about 12 couples to go to Pigeon Forge together, and we had an awesome time. Amen. It almost feels like we got married again. It was just beautiful. It really was just beautiful. Everybody, including me, was saying, we have been to several marriage conferences and retreats and things of that nature. This is by far the best one I have ever been to. How many of you know if you really want to hear God, He'll speak to you and you can hear Him? I heard a man one time, I think his name was Ben Hayden. He was a Presbyterian minister. And matter of fact, went to see him in Spartanburg when he came. Wonderful man of God. And I remember he said, you know, the greatest tragedy is not being able, you know, not being able to see. That's not the greatest tragedy, not having eyes to see. He said the greatest tragedy is having eyes to see and refusing to look. Having ears to hear, but refusing to listen. And that never left me. That's been years ago. I was in the Free Will Baptist way back then. Jesus was talking to his disciples. I told you last week that he went to Caesarea Philippi. And this was about six or seven months before his crucifixion. So the timeline is getting shorter and shorter for him. And he takes his disciples out there to the epicenter of pagan worship and pagan religion, a huge mountain. And in that mountain, they had all these false idols, and we talked about that last week. And we also had a cave that waters were just gushing out of it, and that cave was called the Gates of Hades. And right there is where Jesus, upon the confession of who he is, that he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, and he is the Son of the living God. And on that revelation of who he is, that he is the rock, he is our rock. That's where he said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. We talked about that last week. It was at that very place that I look at it like it's a graduation ceremony for these 12 guys. He's getting them ready because just a few months later, he's going to be crucified. So he's getting ready to let the church, let them do their thing in him. You know, he is the head. Not me. He is the head of the church. Isn't it terrible to think of a church that walks around in a body with no head? Just do whatever we want to do with no headship about it. Or do what we want to do. But anyway, we talked last week about the church is, because of this, the church is indestructible. You can't snuff us out. You can't make us stop. You can't make us quit. You understand what I'm saying? It is indestructible. Somebody said, man, the church is in bad shape. I said, church is glorious. Now, I don't know which church you want to talk about, but the one he's building is indestructible. The one he's building is beautiful and glorious. We'll get to that in just a little bit, but probably not today. But there's so many things about the church that we really need to capture the view from heaven. God's view of how he sees the church. Do you know that he sees you and I through Jesus? When he sees you and I, he's seeing the blood of Jesus all over our lives. Powerful. We can have a mentality about woe is me, woe are we. Well, we're just really going through a hard time. I've been through some difficult times. Have you? As a pastor, I've been through some hard times. As a husband, I've been through some hard times. Not because of her, because of me. See, I went to a marriage retreat. I got to say, not because of her. Because of me. I learned some things. So you begin to see that we have these trials, we have these struggles, we have these things that we go through, but God is saying, this is for your good. You love me, and this right here is for your good. It's going to turn for your good. He didn't say, what's happening to you is good. He said, but what's happening to you is going to turn out to be good for your life. Think about it. The worst things that you've been through, he said, no, it'll be for your good. So he tells his disciples this, and just a few months later, he's going to be crucified. But he goes and tells them, he said, listen, I'm going to die, and I'm going to be raised up in 3 days. And that's when Peter, you know, Peter had this revelation of who he was, and he said, flesh and blood has not given you that. That did not come from man. It didn't even come from you. It came through you from the Father. And he says, this is what I'm going to build. I'm going to build the church on who I am. He is the rock. He is the foundation. And in the face of evil, in the face of the epicenter of evil, pagan worship, he makes that declaration. He is the bedrock. Let's look at Matthew 16, verse 19. He turns and he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I want you to notice he didn't say, I will give this to the church. I will give you keys to the church. I will give you keys to the kingdom of heaven. Think about it. Keys. Let me ask you this. Do you own a home? Is there anybody in here that in your home that you own, there's a certain place called a miscellaneous drawer or whatever you want. We call it a junk drawer. A lot of junk is in there. But anyway, but one of the things in our junk drawer, miscellaneous drawer, is something that I'm sure each one of y'all have as well. Has anybody ever found a key in your home and you looked at that key and you don't have a clue where it goes to? If I got a witness, I want to see somebody's hand. We got a lot of junk drawers. But see, here's the thing about it. Jesus gave the keys, but it's just like that. If we have keys and do not know what they go to, you got a piece of metal. Think about it. Is it even worth having? Okay, think about this. In your house, how many keys do you have in your home that you don't have a clue where they go? Give me a number. 10. At least 10. Anybody else? 50. 50. You got 50 keys. Now, I think she's in somebody else's house. She don't know the keys. But see, you begin to understand that you can have these keys, but they're really useless until you know what that key. Okay, how many of you have key rings? Everybody? How many of you have ever walked up to a door of some sort? And what did you do? Did you just automatically, if you got a key ring with several keys on it, what did you do? You looked through to find the key that you want to unlock. Because if I've got 10 keys, there's one that's going to fit that door. And I have to say, no, that's it. Well, why do we talk about that? Because we need to understand the keys of the kingdom. See, we can have keys to the kingdom and never use them because we don't even know what they're for. Jesus says, I will give you the keys. Notice that he says, I will give. What does that mean? It's future. I will give. I will give. He didn't give him keys right then. I will give you. Do you know how, you know, the Bible says over in Matthew chapter 25, it says, inherit, you're blessed, so inherit, get your inheritance. And he goes on, he said, receive your inheritance, which is the kingdom of God. When do you get an inheritance? When somebody dies. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. He said, what he's saying, I'm giving you selective authority. That key fits that door. This key opens this. This key opens that. There's selective authority that we've been given. And he doesn't stop there. He goes on and he says, and whatever you bind, I think there's one translation that says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That's not the best translation. When you study it in this passage in the New American Standard and other versions as well, it says, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. What does that mean? It means that you don't have keys down here that you're going to bind and loose, and heaven's got to obey you. Not true. Heaven has dictated to us what we can bind and what we can loose because it's already done in heaven. Let me say this. We can be at a place to where we can get really churned up sometimes and get more excited than our theology. And we can, I bind you, Satan. My Bible said he roams. He roams about what? To and fro like what? like a roaring lion. How are you going to bind that when the board said that's what he's doing? So we got to, you know, that key that we think we have don't work on that. Because that's not what the Bible says to do. Now, I don't want to make anybody mad, but I'm not. If you're mad, you're mad at this right here, because that's what the Bible says. So you begin to understand that he is saying, so I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever is bound, whatever is already bound in heaven, you'll be able to bind on earth. Whatever is loose in heaven, you'll be able to loose on earth. God does not wait on us to change heaven. So we have to understand that God is saying, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom, whatever you, but this word that says bind means to prohibit. You can prohibit on earth what is prohibited already in heaven. Like this. Yeah, I don't know of any demons that are roaming around in heaven, do you? Nope. So you know what you and I have keys to do? Cast out demons. Heal the sick. They're not sick people in heaven. So we got keys to be able to bring healing to people. We got keys to open the door for people to live in harmony with God. See, every time you share the gospel with somebody, you're opening the door for that person. You got a key to be able to open the door for that person to be able to see, even though he may not see. But God will use you, and by the power of the Holy Spirit will open the doors and enlighten his heart or her heart to be able to walk in, step into the kingdom of God, because you used the key that he said, I'll give you. See, at the death and resurrection of Jesus is when the kingdom begins to be transferred to the believers. At the death. So the keys we have are for us to be able to, you remember Jesus' prayer, model prayer to the disciples, pray this way. Y'all remember that? Our, come on. Stop. Say that again. Say it again. Next. Stop. What is it again? What's next? See, he didn't say, okay, we're going to do this on earth and heaven's going to have to change. No, doesn't work that way. Religion wants to see it that way, but that's not the way of God. You know, that's the reason that Jesus came. The reason Jesus came is to give you and I the kingdom of God. In the process of doing that, he had to be beaten. He had to be scourged. He had to die and resurrected. He did die while he was here, but he came to give you and I the kingdom. Inherit. You're a blessed person. Inherit what the Father has given you, and that is the kingdom of God. He said when the gospel when the gospel of salvation is preached all over the world, he's coming back. He didn't say that. It is when the gospel of the kingdom, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached, all over the world. Let me go back to Peter just a minute and look at him when he has this phenomenal revelation. He has this experience with God talking to him and letting him know about who Jesus is. Not just the Messiah, he is the only Messiah, but he is the Son of the living God. In other words, the whole thing is about God's eternal. He was and is to come. And Jesus came from him. He said, it's his Son, so he's eternal. So your life that you've been given by God is what? Iffy? Up and down? It's eternal. Born again, you have eternal life. Everlasting life. Everlasting means what? It lasts forever. But Peter has this revelation, and Jesus acknowledges that this didn't come from you. You didn't come up with this. I can see it now. He's just a plain fisherman, left his fishing boat to follow Jesus. Now he has this revelation. And he said, you're blessed because you got that revelation. He said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church and everything. But it's just after he talks about, guys, I'm going to die, and not going to be long. I'm going to die and about 6 or 7 months later. He said, but I'm going to die, and I'll be raised again. And that's when, listen to this, that's when Peter pulls Jesus aside. Nah. We ain't gonna let that happen. That ain't gonna happen. Here he stands with the revelation from the Father of who he is, of who Jesus is. And then, listen, the Son hadn't even went down, and he's already saying, uh-uh, Jesus, you ain't gonna do that. He's telling Jesus what he is and ain't gonna do after this revelation. Just like that. Let me ask you this. Did Jesus turn to him? Okay, buddy, you ain't getting no keys. Keys are out for you. It hadn't been 5 minutes, and here you are. No keys for you, buddy. He didn't do that. A little bit later on, what happens? In the courtyard, Jesus is on trial, and what does Peter do? A little girl says, aren't you one of the disciples? Y'all remember? Aren't you one? Aren't you one? What did Peter do? He said, what? I don't know him. Who are you talking about? Oh, him? I don't know who he is. I've never seen him before. A little bit later, I'm pretty sure that you're one of them. I'm pretty sure I have seen you with that group of people over at Father's Vineyard. I don't know who they are. I'm just messing with you, but see, Jesus, I'm sure you're a follower. Third time, what does he do? He wants to prove that he's not. So what does he do? What does he do, Andy? He curses. He uses some of his old fishing boat terms, the old sailor terms. There, now, that ought to prove to you that I don't follow that man. Hold up on the trial, boys. I know I'm on trial. Just hold up on the trial. I've got to go talk to this one over here. You ain't getting no more keys. He didn't do that. What is the point of that? Your worst chapter in your life as a Christian. Your worst chapter in your life as a Christian does not disqualify you from your calling. But you don't know what I did. He knows. And he's called you and he's given you keys and he's not taking them back. Isn't that good? How many of you have had some of those the worst days in your life since you have been a Christian? It's been some pretty hard times. You know, and that once again, it's like, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it doesn't mean we camp out and stay. We walk through it. So these things about keys are extremely important. Important to Jesus, important to us. But he is the rock. He made us worthy, not we ourselves. Because we ourselves make mistakes. We have failures. We have a lot of failures in our life. And sometimes we'll think about the failures so much that says, God, look, I had the same thing. God can't use me because of what I've done. And actually, God said, that's the reason I can use you. Because you know you ain't perfect. So what I'm telling you today is God is building his church. Jesus is building his church and it's indestructible. You can't destroy it. We can't even destroy it. And he said, we'll give you these keys. When the transference comes, you're going to have keys to the kingdom. You're going to be able to walk with the power of God. You're going to be able to have the power of God in your life to be able to, what's going on in heaven, you can bring thy kingdom come. What? On earth as it is in heaven. I heard Francis Frangipane say this, and it just made such an impact on my life. He said, we don't need to look like a people that we're on the way to heaven. We need to look like a people that's coming back from heaven. We've been impacted so much by heaven, I'm bringing it to earth. The selective authority that we have, and then we have the power that he's given us to be able to speak. You know, they're on the way to the prayer, and one says, hey, give me some money. Give me some. And wasn't it Peter and John? Who was it? We need to give me some money. Said, we don't have any silver. Huh? Don't have any gold, don't have any silver, we don't have anything. But did he leave them? Did he leave them? No, what did they do? But such as I have, I give it to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. We can't be a people that's so ashamed or so backward in our faith that we can't use the keys. I don't know if I can use that or not. We need the people that are key to the faith that he's given us to be able to walk in him and bring heaven to earth. And the reason I know that it's not like, okay, heaven's going to obey what we do. See, a religious vein will be that all day long. They'll want all this and they'll think heaven's going to change. He didn't say... He said, the kingdom of God come on earth, as it is in heaven. The will of God. The keys have the will of God in it. The keys that you've given is not your will. We talked about that the other week about becoming a nevertheless believer. I know this, I know that, I know this is difficult, and I know this, I'm going through this, and I wish it would go away. Please make it go away. Please make it go away. Please make it go away. Jesus said, no, remove this, remove it. But he said, what did he say? Nevertheless. Not what? Not my will, but your will be done. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom of God coming to earth. We have keys to bring the kingdom of God to other people. You know, Jesus told the Pharisees one time, said, y'all search the scriptures. Y'all, but you don't even know that it's talking about me. Sometimes we can search the scriptures in order to do what we want to go do, instead of letting the scriptures tell us what we need to go do. I know there's a verse in here that tells me that I ain't got to put up with him. Where's it at? Where's it at? I know. We need to look at the scriptures and let the scriptures tell us what we need to do. That's the kingdom of God being activated through our lives. So do you hear keys rattling that you feel like God is wanting you to activate? But see, you and I have got to look at these scriptures and find out, well, wait a minute, what did he say we could do here? So those are keys to prohibit and to loose on earth what has already been done in heaven. Isn't he good? Let's pray. I'd like for you to just a few seconds, just talk to the Lord. Bring us, Lord, to the place that we walk in the true inheritance that you've given us, the kingdom of God. Help us to unlock the doors that people seem to think they've done too much, done things that God could never save them. Give us the boldness and the love that we need to be able to unlock that door for them. To walk in new life and the freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.